Jobless claims fell last week, but they're still really high. With the Marketplace Morning Report in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler in for David Brancaccio. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell by 19,000 last week, but it remains at 787,000. Employers continue to cut jobs as rising coronavirus infections keep many people at home, and at the same time, state and local governments are reimposing restrictions. Here to give us a little bit of context is Jeffrey Cleveland. He's chief economist at Payton & Riegel. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning.
So we get jobless applications. They remain elevated, 787,000, but they're down a bit. We should also sort of take that with a grain of salt, I imagine, yeah?
Well, yes. A marginal decline in first-time claims for unemployment insurance on the week, but claims are still a little bit higher, actually, than they were only a month ago, which I think reflects some of the renewed shutdowns due to the virus. And then I think initial claims for unemployment are a lot higher than we would want, much higher than they were, let's say, a year ago at this time. Continuing claims also way too high. They've continued to fall, but 5.2 million Americans continue to receive unemployment benefits. Again, in the scheme of things, a decline, but much too high.
We also need to put this in the context of Christmas, right? I mean, we're closed for a day at least last week, so we could see this inching back up pretty soon.
We always say you're not going to see a clean read on the claims data until sometime after the new year. And it's also possible that we have yet to see some of the shutdowns reflected in the initial claims data. So initial claims may tick up in the first couple of weeks here of January.
Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payton & Riegel. Jeffrey, thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Hospitalizations in the U.S. due to COVID-19 hit an all-time high yesterday of more than 125,000. And for many healthcare networks around the country, those numbers are unsustainable. In Southern California, the epicenter of the outbreak, hospitals have turned away ambulances because they're so short on beds, some even putting patients in conference rooms and gift shops. Despite being the wealthiest state, California has a lower-than-average number of hospital beds. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
California has 1.8 hospital beds per 1,000 residents. That's below the national average and the third lowest in the country. And that's by design.
For the most part, it's a good thing.
Stephen Shortell is a professor of health policy at UC Berkeley. He says the state's limited hospital capacity is an outgrowth of California's largest health plan, Kaiser Permanente, which focuses more on prevention and outpatient care.
We have every incentive to keep them out of that hospital bed.
He says in a normal emergency, patients can be moved to mobile field hospitals, but those need to be staffed by medical professionals. And that's the challenge, says Dr. George Rutherford at UC San Francisco.
A lot of our system is set up to say, oh, there was a big earthquake in Northern California. We can bring help in from Southern California. But everybody's being squeezed at the same time.
California already relaxed nurse-to-patient ratios as hospitalizations have climbed above 20,000. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Few, if any, have been spared from the coronavirus pandemic's economic fallout. That's true of workers in Mexico's massive informal sector. Think street food vendors and local open-air markets. In response, some have organized to demand government support. From the Mexican border state of Sonora, just south of Arizona, KJZZ's Murphy Woodhouse reports.
Sitting next to a fan on a hot November day, Benito Encinas was helping a potential customer track down a lawnmower. But no one had what the customer was looking for at a local flea market in the Sonoran capital, Hermosillo. Since the pandemic, fewer people have been going to buy or sell. Encinas is a tianguista. That means he makes his living buying used goods at U.S. garage sales and selling them back in Mexico. But most tianguistas haven't been able to cross to restock since March, when pandemic restrictions went into effect for northbound border crossers. That's a unique hardship in Encinas's business, but many in Mexico's broader informal economy have had a turbulent time during the pandemic.
Bueno, en México el sector informal.
Economist Norma Samaniego says that informal workers, a diverse group that includes domestic workers, unregistered small businesses, and many others, made up over half the Mexican workforce before the pandemic. As stay-at-home policies went into effect, she says informal employment collapsed. She estimates more than 90% of job losses in April were among informal workers. Despite the scale of economic hardship across the country, she says Mexico hasn't offered much financial assistance to workers and businesses. She says the government could do more. In mid-October, dozens of tianguistas and other informal workers protested in front of the Sonoran Congress, eventually forcing their way in, as captured by local news outlet Diario Valor. According to the union representing Sonoran tianguistas, activists have met with state leaders to discuss their demands, like including financial support for workers in the budget. But there's been little progress on their demand to be able to cross the border. And Encinas says he's worried. If he's not able to cross soon, he says he'll have to close his two stalls at the market. In Hermosillo, I'm Murphy Woodhouse for Marketplace.
And Happy New Year, everybody. 2020 is almost over. I promise it's almost there, 2021. I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.